It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on a Monday afternoon, whether you're listening here on 1080 AM, watching along on youtube.com/1080AMTheFan or twitch.tv/1080AMTheFan. We appreciate you. We love you here on the afternoon show here on Danny and Dusty. It is a Olympic love fest. We're in the throes of athletics, as it were. And a local legend, Ryan Krauser, went out there and dominated yet again, boring Oregon's own, in the shot put, in a matter that was, God, dare I say, laughable?
Yeah, well, when you go into prelims and you throw one throw and you just say, that's it, I'm done, and then you go into the finals and all three of your throws in finals would have won you gold, I would say you're dominating your sport. And then, oh, by the way, three-peat in the shot put for the gold. What we're seeing, a world record holder, Ryan Krauser, I think undeniably at this point, we can say is the most decorated athlete to ever come from Oregon. He is a world record holder, three-time gold medalist, multi-time world champion, and it's something that the conversation is like, is he the greatest athlete to ever come from the state of Oregon? But I don't think that we can deny he's the most decorated athlete to come from the state of Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, because I think your list, you're going to include Ashton Eaton.
Ashton Eaton, world record holder in the decathlon.
Two-time gold medalist.
Mountain View High School. Won two golds. The world's greatest athlete is pretty distinguished.
Decathlon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
That's a pretty good one to have.
Mariel Zagunas is up there as a multiple...
Fencer?
Multiple-time gold medal winner. Was it two golds, three bronzes? Trying to think. Mac Wilkins was a multiple-time... Olympian,
yeah, multiple
one,
time
one
Olympian.
Gold, one gold, one silver.
But I mean, you're not in that conversation. Krauser's world record holder, three-time gold medalist, multi-time world champion, NCAA champion. I think it is pretty easy to say the most decorated. I still think the greatest athlete to come from the state of Oregon is Danny Ainge.
Probably Danny Ainge.
When you are drafted in Major League Baseball, you play in the NBA and have the career that he did, a multi-time world champion.
He's one of two only recognized three-sport All-Americans in high school sports
history. Yeah, it was a parade All-American in three sports in high school.
I can never remember the second guy.
I would also go, like, you can go back. I mean, Terry Baker winning a Heisman Trophy, starting point guard for a Final Four team, and being the pride of Jefferson High School. His Jefferson High School teammate Mel Renfro is a Pro Football Hall of Famer, phenomenal athlete in his own right, and was a two-sport athlete at Oregon. You got Adley Rutschman, which hopefully the Orioles can hold up their end of the bargain. And when you think of Rutschman, holds the high school record still for the longest field goal in high school football history in Oregon, kicked at Oregon, played baseball at Oregon, or kicked at Oregon State, played baseball at Oregon State. He is a when you talk about just phenomenal athletes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, those guys are all in that conversation, but that's where you go. Krauser, I don't know. I think he was an all-state basketball player at Barlow? He's like 6'7".
He's a massive
260 pounds.
What's crazy is my wife and I are watching shot put together, and like there's the different builds of shot putters. Like there's the Kovacs for Team USA, who looks like, I think, your traditional shot putter. He's probably, 300 and something pounds, 320, 330, just massive barrel human. Whereas Krauser's one of the quote-unquote leaner shot putters, but his levers are so much longer, and he's so much more explosive. His release point is so much further than everyone else's.
6'7", 320 pounds.
Who is?
Ryan Krauser is. Ryan Krauser is 6'7".
Goodness.
320.
And then there's the Italian. The Italian was, was it Allegri? No. But he was the one who's closest built to Krauser. Did you see the Jamaican shot putter?
No.
Holy crap. That man, he looked like, the guy that they got for Any Given Sunday, that his lats have lats. The other linebacker that played opposite of LT. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That massive just brick wall of a human. That's what he looked like. And I was like, I thought you guys only had sprinters.
Yeah.
Like, where did you come from?
Mm-mm.
And
mm-mm.
His name was Rajendra. Oh, God, I can't remember his name now. But when I saw him come out, I was like, oh, he's terrifying.
Dude, the man threw, Ryan Krauser threw a 16-pound shot.
23-plus meters.
74 feet. 16 pounds, and he threw it 74 feet.
It's one other person in the world that's thrown 23-plus meters?
My meathead son immediately went to, bet he could throw me way far in the pool.
Oh, God,
yeah, dude.
Imagine being spun and thrown like that. My favorite thing about shot put
74 feet.
Is watching these guys pick up a shot put, number one, with one hand.
Yeah.
Like it's a golf ball.
That's crazy.
And then watching them hurl it 65-plus feet, and then watching this little 5'2" French judge go over to pick it up, and they bend over, and they have to, like, pick it up with two hands.
Two-hand it.
And then you can see them kind of, like, quasi-struggle with it because it's a condensed ball of 16 pounds of just solid
metal.
Weight.
Yeah, just 16 balls of metal. A 16-pound ball of metal.
It's
just
insane.
Goodness gracious.
I think it's fair to say not only is Krauser the most accomplished, I think he has the ability to put his name up alongside Ainge.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, his career,
because his dominance, it's Ledeckian. It's Phelpsian. It's like it's unfettered, unmitigated, ridiculous dominance.
In reality is, like, he'll be 35 for the 2028 games. He's going to be out of it by then.
You think so? Because he was so dominant that I wonder.
Well, it's injuries that are piling up. I mean, he had an elbow and a shoulder injury. I mean, he's been going through it at this point, and he's probably going to be done. But dude will go down as a world record holder, 3-time gold medalist, 2-time world champion, indoor world champion. Also holds the national record for high school discus.
Just because.
Just throwing stuff.
Yeah, really good at throwing big things very far.
What do you think that family reunion's like? Because he has two cousins, Sam Krauser and Haley Krauser. Both were jab throwers at Oregon. Like, do you think that a family reunion is just go and throw stuff? Yeah.
Barrel tosses. Just get together. Hey, none of us throw these. So it's all fair.
For my, like, and I honestly, I don't think, and by the way, his dad was an Olympian too. Ryan's
We're
dad.
Coming full circle again to genetics matter.
Yeah. His uncle, also an Olympian. But you think of the fact that what he has been able to do, I don't think it's a question. I think, full stop, you could say most decorated athlete to ever come out of the state of Oregon. Ever. The greatest athlete to ever come out of the state of Oregon, that's a little bit tougher because of guys like Ashton Eaton and Danny Ainge and Terry Baker and Mel Renfro and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think of accomplishments from this state, which the list is not long.
No.
Right? I mean, this isn't like California or Texas that we're talking about.
Where you've just got an unmitigated list of, oh my God.
It is, it still is. And like, here I am at 40, you know, I look at a guy like Ryan Krausner and I'm like, it is so damn cool that he is from the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's
from boring.
Yeah. From like the roots of his entire family, but Oregon through and through.
Mm-hmm.
It is, it's awesome to see a guy like that go. And I remember watching him at the high school state track when I was coaching high school track, being there and just going, dude, this guy is different.
It stands
like
out.
He is just built different. Yeah. The way he throws, the fact that everybody just like at the high school state track meet, it was funny. Like everybody would be close. And then it was like, oh, here comes Krauser. And all of the judges just move back. And it's like substantial how far they moved back for everything that he did. He is, he's doing Oregon proud. And I love
it. You just do it.
Yep.
Well, speaking a little bit different, Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix.
Yeah.
Going to come and hop on and talk college football.
He heard us talking earlier, and he was like, I'm ready.
We'll bring him in. We'll talk about what Oregon has done and what some other schools haven't done as far as building together a talent pool that matters going forward. Coming up next year on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're now joined by Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. College Football Coaches Poll has been released, and it's a whole lot of hullabaloo. And Dave, thanks for taking some time and coming on to talk talent acquisition with us. Do we have Dave? We have Bartu?
Is that it? Just talent acquisition? Man, we can go off on all sorts of things. I was returning the wedding kegs back to Main Brew, man, and I'm like driving down 26. I'm like, I hear Dave Bartu of talent. I'm like, hey, I know that guy. and so I'm like, hey, I got time today. You know, I'm texting Dusty. I'm like, let's go. Let's do this right now. So before we go into talent acquisition, though, okay, is let's get real about polls. Here's my thing about top 25 polls in the preseason. Okay, they're as worthless as spring football evaluations, number one. And number two, in spite of what all fans think or most fans think, there is no poll that comes out that has any impact ever on the playoff committee. It doesn't exist. That is unicorn farting glitter rainbow fairy tale.
And
okay.
I think that's the best thing about it, though, is that the College Football Committee actually waits to watch them play football games for a substantial amount.
They don't watch the games.
For a substantial amount of the season.
Why do they watch the games? Well, they don't have time to watch the games. There's another thing. You are dead wrong. They do not watch the games. And when they do, they don't know what they're looking at. If they knew what they were looking at, they'd be on the sidelines. They have a formula that somebody else tells them to manage. That's the only job of the playoff committee. You, me, Danny, Will, you put us all in there, right? And we are going to come up with the exact same thing following their protocol. They gave us the protocol day one. Nobody listened to it, and they followed it every single day for the last 10 years, except when they imposed the death penalty on Florida State. And there was a clause in the rules that gave them an out on that as well.
But so, I will say then they let the season play out before they release any of the rankings.
They do because they need the season to play out to get the numbers to rank them within the ranking rules.
Right.
But even if they did this on the last day, if there was never a playoff committee meeting, the rankings would all end up being the same. They don't watch games. They don't have the expertise to watch games. They don't have time to watch the games. How do you watch 40, 50, 60 teams in 24 hours, think you're an expert and rank them? They don't. That's another thing that's crap.
That is
so correct. I know I took us down a rabbit hole. We're talking about talent acquisition.
No way with you. No way with you. We went down a rabbit hole with Dave Bartu.
I know. Well, I told Will, dude, top of the hour. You can have me as long as you want. I'll even hold over on breaks if we're rolling.
All right.
One of the things that we were talking about, and this is the thing that I've kind of beat the drum on for years with Oregon fans, was they would be good, but you would see these gaps. When they'd have a class that made sense, they would lose guys or they'd be weak in some position group. You would just see that it would bear itself out. Over the last couple of years, obviously started with Chris Ball and has continued into Dan Lanning's era now. Their talent acquisition and the talent depth that they have appears to be the best they've ever had, and that is kind of what is feeding into the positive momentum. Is my read on that incorrect?
No, it's not. It's not, right? Because who wins national championships, right? Mm-hmm. The national championship winners in the last 25 years, this entire century, there have only been two teams that didn't recruit in the top 10 of high school recruiting over the last 4 years, okay? If you're one of the top 10 recruiters of high school players over the last 4 years, period, nothing else considered, you have won 23 of the last 25 national titles.
Okay? Now,
the only two teams to do it, last year Michigan at number 12, and Clemson under Deshaun Watson at number 13, okay? Now, and of all the teams that have lost the national title game, 19 of 25 are also top 10 recruiters. So you look at the winners and the losers, 43 of 50 are top 10 high school recruiters over the last 4 years. And Oregon just hasn't been there, right? Now, when they have, they fall in the next group. Everybody else falls in that 11 to 15 category. Those other seven teams are all 11 to 15. And all but one of them had an NFL drafted first round quarterback. All but one of them. Virginia Tech had Michael Vick. Deshaun Watson was at Clemson. Guy named Marcus Mariota at Oregon, right? You know, last year, J.J. McCarthy, first round Michigan, all right? The only anomaly, which maybe is in my opinion, the single greatest anomaly of a loser of a national title in the last 25 years, is Ducks and Auburn.
Yeah.
Because Darren Thomas wasn't even drafted. Never even saw an NFL field. So that was the only thing really out of bounds in terms of recruiting. And I keep saying high school recruiting because unless you're paying $2 to $3 million for a quarterback to come in and make a difference like Cam Wardle or Dylan Gabriel, I don't think any of it matters. It doesn't matter with the NFL. It hasn't shown to matter in college football. It's all about high school recruiting and retaining that top talent. And the difference for Oregon is exactly what you said. Okay, before Mario Cristobal and Dan Lanning, it was always outside the top 10. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. They never had the talent to do it. They couldn't put it all together. Now, I know every Duck fan, including myself, look, I'm an alumni. He's a ticket holder for 17 years. If Mariota was playing for Darren Thomas in that championship game, you know, the Mariota we knew, that game was over, right?
Right.
You know, if DeAnthony Thomas makes the block against Stanford and Mariota scores and they win that game, they are still scoring touchdowns on Notre Dame in that national title game. But now the narrative has flipped in that with NIL and the ability to just go out and buy players with whoever has the most money, now the Ducks are a top five recruiter.
Right.
You can't talk about national championship now without the Ducks because the conversation has always been, can you recruit to a national championship? And if you couldn't, you pretty much exile those teams, cross them off the list. They're not going to make it. But the Ducks are there now. And so there's a couple other things that are in common of every single national title winner of the last 25 years outside of recruiting. The Ducks have all of those too. There's not one person that I could take seriously that says, oh, I cannot see Ducks as a national championship contender in 2004. All right. Well, I guess you don't see Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State as contenders either because you're an idiot. You cannot say that. So with the Ducks and the window is here. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys have gone over the schedule. It is the fifth easiest schedule relative to talent in the entire college football 2024.
Now,
fifth easiest schedule relative to talent. This is their year. If Dan just stops calling, going against the numbers, on fourth down. Just don't go against the numbers on fourth down. He's gone against the numbers three times. He's 0-for-3. They should be undefeated in all of those games, I believe, at least one loss. Then, yes, they are in the middle of the discussion. Absolutely.
One thing that kind of piqued my interest is you talked about Michigan being the anomaly outside the top 10, or one of the anomalies being outside the top 10 in winning a national title. But the transfer portal has been infinite with how much benefit you'll see that teams get. And I think Oregon is going to be a beneficiary of this year with the way that you plug and play guys who aren't your traditional high school players and you get them into your system. Last year, Michigan, if you look at like the 24/7 transfer portal rankings, which people could take those for what they will, but they were a top 10 finisher in transfer portal rankings. How much is the transfer portal affecting some of these contenders who may get that boost? Or I think Michigan was 15th last year. They may get a boost, but also some of the top tier programs like Alabama, who we saw last year, whether it was Kyrie Jackson or Trayshawn Holden, they came to Oregon and they kind of siphon off a little bit of that recruiting talent. How much is the transfer portal affecting these recruiting rankings for these contenders that are coming in and popping from year to year?
I haven't been able to see it conclusively across the board, right? I mean, you pointed out Michigan. Well, what about everybody? Michigan is top 15 in transfer portal in the last 4 years, let's say, okay? And we haven't had the transfer portal open long enough to really even have a sample size to conclusively say, is it or is it not impacting college football? But, and it's my opinion that unless it's a quarterback that has major impact, it's not going to impact it because, look, the Ducks are a top 10 recruiter. Right. So it only goes to really assume that they're still going to be top 10 in the transfer portal if they need it. Ohio State, top 10 recruiter. They're going to be top 10 in the portal if they need it. But if you look at the NFL, okay, because I see the transfer portal, that's just college free agency. And in the NFL, the more you use NFL free agency, the more games you lose. The worse you are at drafting, the more you use the transfer portal free agency, the more games you lose. It's almost linear. And so without the data, my assumption going in was a guy like Deion Sanders that goes, I'm all transfer portal. Dude, you're going to get smoked.
Yep.
You are going to get smoked because in the NFL, you get smoked. And last year, he got freaking smoked.
Yeah.
Right? And this year, they're going to – if they start – I'll say this right now. Here's one of my hot takes. Okay? I'll give you a hot take. Is they lose to North Dakota State in week one, they're going 0-12. Things going to fall apart. Okay? Right now, their win total is not 5.5. I have UCLA and Colorado combined under 5.5 wins.
Wow.
They are both going to get absolutely pounded into the dirt this year. And for Colorado, again, you have no cultural continuity. You turned over your whole roster again.
Yep.
It didn't work last year. It's not going to work this year. And then this year you turned over your whole coaching staff. You lost all your good coaches. And then your offensive coordinator, who was one of your best coaches, bounces to San Diego State and you hire Pat Shurmur, who is graded bottom five offensive coordinator in the NFL for the last century. He's a bottom five out of 118 offensive coordinators. He's bottom five in the NFL. So I don't believe in the transfer portal, maybe to fill holes, but I would rather go Dabo and go all high school than to go to the transfer portal. But last year, so I looked at everybody's record without the transfer portal, and the best high school recruiter, regardless of road or home, won 72% of all the football games in FBS last year. 133 teams, 72% of all the games you would have picked dead on right for the winner on September 1st if you simply went with the best high school recruiter. That's the first time it's broken 70 in 15 years since I started keeping track of it.
Wow.
It's actually gotten – high school recruiting has actually gotten, in my opinion, more important than transfer portal. So don't get way over your skis on the transfer portal because you have cultural continuity problems. You got problems with guys moving down. You know, now Oregon's usually they're gonna pull guys up, right? They're gonna pull guys that are at lesser programs. But I'm seeing program after program. You take lateral transfers, you take transfers down, those guys are not performing. Stay away. from the transfer down. But, you know, that's my thought on the transfer thing. Don't get over your skis on how important it is.
All right, we're gonna get some more thoughts with you. We're going to hold you to your word. You want to stay through the break with us?
I promise. Dude, I'm right here in your backyard. How can I not? I told you. I'd be here for you guys anytime. You just got to pick up the phone.
All right, we appreciate you, Bartu. All right, we're going to keep it going with Dave Bartu after this break with Big Will Betts here on 1080 The Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
We're still joined by Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. Bartu, I've got a position group question for you that's one that I've kind of been wondering. With the evolution and the change in 7-on-7 and focus and how NFL and high college level ready wide receivers seem to be, are you noticing any changes, any in trends as it pertains to wide receiver recruiting or the dispersal and how much more volume of higher end wide receivers there are in college football?
Well, I think it depends on what you define as higher end. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've never talked to you about this before because it's something that we just started doing throughout college football, but we've been doing it in 3 years in the NFL, is advanced kinematics. It's athleticism testing, total body athleticism. And in all the position groups in the NFL, the greater your athleticism, the greater your longevity and the more starts you make per player in the NFL. It's literally linear, the more athletic your body is, by all positions, except two, wide receiver and tight end.
Interesting.
So, and I'm looking at that going, okay, the most athletic position in the NFL by far requirement is the higher the athleticism in linebacker, the better the player you can get. You know, the bottom half totally outperformed by the upper half. At wide receiver and tight end, it's very different. In that the upper athletes, the most athletic guys in the same scale, don't outperform less athletic guys. And so I started talking to some wide receiver coaches and various guys, you know, because we work for six head coaches right now in the NFL on staffing. And we do the same thing in terms of the kinematics for them. And just individually talking to people, trying to figure out, okay, if it's not the athleticism, what is it? And here's my hypothesis on it. Can you catch the ball?
Yeah.
Can you catch the ball? And I know that sounds funny. It's wide receiver. It's tight end. But there are so many guys that are drafted on potential, speed, size, right? Power, strength, all of the, wow, look at his 10, his 20, his 30, his, you know, this, that, and the other. But can you run a route? Can you read a defense? Can you anticipate? Can you high point the ball? Can you catch the ball in traffic? And it is, the tight end is less so, but at the wide receiver level, it is amazing, Danny. And I'll sit down with the numbers sometime with you when we have time to really sit down and talk. I'll show you this. And
you know I love
it. It is amazing how all of these incredible wide receiver athletes, these guys, I mean, we just had what, 6, 7, 8 guys go in the first round of wide receiver?
Mm-hmm.
Massive risk. I mean, massive risk. Those guys are so incredibly overvalued. Yeah, somebody's going to catch lightning in a bottle on a couple of them. But the numbers say that is an incredible risk in the first round. And so for whatever reason, I think the perception is kids are bigger, faster, stronger, blah, 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 blah. They seem to be more wide receiver NFL ready. But the numbers say that pales in comparison to can you catch the football no matter where it is. Give me a guy that is a really good athlete that catches every ball my quarterback delivers versus the great athlete that makes the great catch once in a while.
Yeah, I think something in that, too, is because feel is a big one, too. And getting open in the NFL is feel because of the athleticism on the opposite side of the ball. If you have a corner or a safety who's over the top of you, those guys are everybody's a freak athlete, and it kind of cancels each other out. And you're on it with catching the damn football, the most important thing a receiver can do. But that feel of how when the DB's hips flip and you break your route down, that is, you know, those are the intangibles where I don't think you can't manufacture a test to see if a guy has that it or not, right?
No, you can't. We can get the athleticism score, right? I can do my athleticism score relative to you, and my athleticism score, you know, let's say one of, you know, my NFL guys go, okay, I'm not looking at Bartu. He doesn't have the athleticism to even make a roster in the NFL. Dusty does. okay, he's at 83.47. Great. This guy is a 1-4 round draft pick. Now let's go to the film. And I don't want to see the film of him making pretty catches. I want him making all the ugly catches.
Right.
Right. I want to do my due diligence to see if this guy can catch the ball. The athleticism side is really more of a filter. And then you have, then you go to the eye test instead of wasting your time on a lot of guys that don't have the athleticism to make an NFL or a college football roster.
I feel like you're speaking directly to N'Keal Harry and Quentin Johnston right now. Right now in the NFL.
Who's that?
Johnston, the receiver for the Chargers, and N'Keal Harry, who's now, I think, trying to play tight end somewhere. Good luck with that.
Right? You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, those guys were probably athletic enough, right?
Yep.
So could they catch the ball?
They all look the part, and freaky athletes.
Right. One guy that always comes to mind that I like, Pac-12 guy, right? Never the fastest, right? Big, strong guy, but not the fastest. But everybody says he's a precision route runner. He can read defenses, and he catches everything. But his numbers didn't make him jump as a lottery guy, right? Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
Right? Keenan, was he the fastest guy? Hell, even Jerry Rice. This is what kind of triggered it. This kind of dates me, too. But I remember there was an interview with his coach at Mississippi Valley State, and they said, what's the greatest thing about Jerry Rice? And he responded with, he can catch a BB in the dark.
Yep.
Right? Not the fastest guy, right? Not the biggest guy. He's not cut like Metcalf. You know, he's not as fast as, you know, it's not as fast as a lot of these guys, but he caught everything. And he was a student of the game to read the defenses, to get on page with his quarterback. So I don't get over my skis over really big, fast, athletic guys anymore on wide receiver and tight end at college in the NFL. Can you catch the ball?
You mentioned earlier that Oregon has a fifth easiest schedule relative to talent this year in all of college football. I would assume then that you are buying the Ducks high on their win totals this season.
How do you not? They only play one team. They don't recruit them, and they get them at home, right? they get Michigan in a great window. Their offense is gone. Their coaching staff completely got replaced. I see Sharon Moore on people's top 25 and said, Coach, I'm like, dude, he's never even coached a game. He may not ever coach a game. but seriously, you know, I don't know how you don't buy it, right? Unless somebody gets hurt that we're not seeing, unless they get in a lot of critical fourth down situations that they go for it, where they're actually due, even if they keep going against the numbers, they're actually due to be successful on a few of those. But in fact, Ohio State and Oregon, I'm absolutely buying them because Ohio State has the third easiest schedule in college football relative to their talent. And just for everybody listening, just to let you know, I've been doing ease of schedule for nearly 15 years. And in the last 10 years of doing it in the college football playoff era, 9.5 teams per year finish in the top 12 out of the top 20 in ease of schedule. Wow. Right? So 1 year, 9. 1 year, 10. So the vast majority of your top 12 is coming out of the team, top 20 teams with ease of schedule. That's another reason. Actually, I just love the Ducks and Ohio State to play. They can play three times this year. They play at Austin, play in the Big Ten Championship game. They might get mashed up in the playoffs again.
Jeez.
Bar 2, thanks for taking some time for us, man. We appreciate you.
We need to do a football palooza with you.
Yeah,
soon.
Dude, don't be a stranger.
We'll get it on the books.
Let's go live somewhere. Let's drink beer for 3 hours and talk nothing but college football, like a McMinimins or something.
I love this.
I'm right here for you guys.
I love this.
Ask me.
We can probably make that happen.
You're the man, Bar 2.
Dave Bar 2 at College Football Matrix. As always, the best thing about Bar 2 is you wind him up and let him go, and you're just going to get all of the information.
He was literally just listening to the show earlier when we were talking. And he's like, he texts me, he's like, I'm here. Talent, I got you. And so.
And we barely scratched the surface.
Yeah, we really did.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. So we'll put a nice little bow on the coaches poll and where Oregon sits and all this. And a couple of final notes here on what Bar 2 mentioned as we come back here on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
heads that are rolling over.
A special little shout out to Dave Bar 2 for just hopping on willy-nilly because we love him.
Great dude.
Great dude. And we will find a way to talk college football and have beers, whether that's on air or not. We'll just find a way to do that. Tomorrow morning, in the wee hours and then leading up into our show, the final bracket for Olympic basketball underway.
Oh, really? Already?
Yeah, Team USA will tip off 12:30 our time against Brazil. But we got great matchups. Australia-Canada.
Ooh, that one's going to be a good
one out there. That's the matchup.
Dylan Brooks is like, he turns into a different player in Olympic basketball.
A good player. That's versus a bad player.
Yeah. I have come to this conclusion when watching FIBA officials. I want it in...
FIBA rules in the NBA.
Yeah, I want that. They started officiating games more similarly during the final run of the playoffs, like post All-Star break, where it was like, wow, so much contact. Well, yeah, if you watch one of these FIBA games, it is so much better to watch. Some of the players aren't nearly as good, but it's so much better brand of basketball to watch. Yes. I like it.
No,
far more.
It is. Now, I don't know if we necessarily need to go like full no 3 seconds.
No.
That's a little much. Same with the closer three-point line. But overall, yeah.
I don't want Jim Boeheim's 2-3 zone coming to the NBA.
No, God, no. But the general feel and how it's officiated, the physicality, the both allowing more physicality while putting more emphasis on calling fouls on ease of movement.
Won't it?
I do like it.
I
also like the rim rule. Taking the ball off the rim.
Yeah,
tip ins and tip outs.
Yeah.
If I could take one thing actual rule wise from FIBA, it's that.
Nice. Yeah, I would be in on that too.
It makes rim presence, both offensively and defensively, infinitely more valuable.
And at the same time, it takes away so many of the stoppages that we see on goaltending calls.
Yeah, like, just goaltending just doesn't exist.
Get him out of here.
Go get it and either finish it or don't.
Yeah. Okay, I'm in on that. Let's do that.
That's the one for me.
All right. Noah Lyles, he won the 200 with ease in his prelim.
And we did just have a photo finish. Was it a marathon?
It's called America.
Oh, it was a mixed relay is what it was. Germany finished 1, U.S. 2, Britain 3, where it was a photo finish on a relay, a long-distance relay. Interestingly enough, it came down to that close.
Interesting.
Yeah, fun.
All right. Well, we're out today. We'll be back tomorrow from noon to 3. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Souk right here on The Fan.
Big Red Hat. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.